big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
From Foxborough all around the world, John McGinn has Scotland ahead in the World Cup.
Live from the Brayhead Arena fan zone and live from the Boston Stadium. Scotland versus Morocco. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Super Scoreboard on what could be one of the most famous nights in Scotland history. A win against Morocco in our second World Cup group match would see us through to the knockout stages of a major tournament for the first time ever. A draw, and it would just about be enough to get us through, but there would be a waiting game. A nation awaits. I'm Andrew McLean, live from the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow. Alongside me, former midfielder Alex Ray and former striker Gordon Dalziel.
A point tonight, and it will be difficult, no doubt, would secure us for the knockout stages. We're just here at Brayhead, the build-up starting slowly but surely. This place is going to be rocking when Scotland go out there in the national anthem, and I just hope the lads do us proud.
Yeah, there's real expectation in here in Brayhead across Scotland, and after that brilliant result the other night, gives us an opportunity to progress through to the next stage, Andrew, and you know, there's a real optimism about the fans. I was coming into the stadium tonight, you've got the saltires draped around, people walking to the venues where they're going to watch this tonight, and they'll be also listening to us on air also.
We saw the emotions, what this World Cup has sparked in this nation, Gordon, and that's just one game. Yes, it was a win, and a really good win at that, but can you imagine what this country, what Boston, what Miami is going to be like, yeah, if Scotland can get a result tonight that either guarantees a place in the last 32 or almost does it with a draw?
Yeah, if we get a result tonight, it's rumoured that the Tartan Army drank Boston out of beer. They'll need to go to another city and get more, but listen, I think everybody's confident of Scotland, the fact that we're going in underdogs, right? There's no doubt this is a top-quality side we're playing, and that's when we're at our best. The first game, as I keep saying, we dipped our toe into the World Cup. We were favourites, a bit nervy. Wasn't the greatest performance, but the most important thing, we got the result. And it's different from the Euros. We get thrashed 5-0 at the Euros, right, and all of a sudden, the confidence is down, we're chasing. Tonight we're not. A point's enough for us. But listen, don't put it by the Scottish team that they could produce one of the best results ever in the history of the game.
Because there is an air of optimism around the Scotland team, which is, for a long time, wasn't there. But Steve Clarke has gradually managed to get that back, getting to a first Euros, a first major tournament in so many years, getting to a second Euros, now getting to a World Cup, getting that first win in a World Cup for 36 years. Yes, the opposition tonight are a top, top team, but he has restored faith in the nation that wasn't there previously.
Yeah, without doubt, and I think you see that in the numbers that have actually travelled over to America as well. Obviously the team's coming out is also, but when you look at that squad overall, it's a real experienced squad. It has grown with Steve Clarke. They've got confidence about actually getting to major tournaments in the last couple of Euros. They're now at the World Cup for the first time in 20 odd years, so you factor all that in there. This group of players, the fans out there will be absolutely buoyant about getting into this game and getting a positive result.
Yeah, just under an hour to go until kick-off between Scotland and Morocco. A great atmosphere in here inside the Brayhead Arena. I'm sure there is at plenty of venues around Scotland, and I'm sure there is at the Boston Stadium in Foxborough. Gabriel Antoniazzi is there giving us the build-up, but most importantly, giving us the team news.
Yes, Andrew, good evening from the Boston Stadium here in Foxborough. on the outskirts of the city. Tens of thousands of fans in blue are back in this magnificent arena just 6 days after one of the most significant victories Scotland have ever had. The win over Haiti was the biggest game of many players' lives, but this is up a notch. A place in the knockout stages of the World Cup on the line with Morocco in Scotland's way. A victory would secure it. Even a point, as you said, would almost guarantee progression as well. And as we all know, as we've all been told so many times, that's what these players and this manager want, Andrew. Making history is their target by becoming the first ever Scottish team to get out of the group at a major tournament. Let's get straight into the team news then. Really interesting stuff. Three changes from that win over Haiti. Nathan Patterson, Kieran Tierney and Ryan Christie all in. Out go Aaron Hickey, Ben Gannon-Doak and Lawrence Shankland. Now, initially, thought it was going to be a five at the back. It looks on paper that it would be that way, but we're hearing that Kieran Tierney is set to play left wing. That's the way they've been training this week. So the team is expected as follows. Angus Gunn in goal, Nathan Patterson right back, Grant Hanley, Jack Henry and Andy Robertson are back four, Ryan Christie and Lewis Ferguson in midfield with John McGinn, Scott McTominay and Kieran Tierney in front of them. Shea Adams leads the line as the sole striker. The substitutes: Kelly, Gordon, Hickey, Ralston, McKenna, Suter, Higham, Gannon-Doak, McLean, Shankland, Fletcher, Curtis, Dykes, Hurst and Stewart. And you just wonder, Andrew, if Tierney is playing left wing, how much of that is it with a view of stopping Morocco's right-hand flank with Achraf Hakimi and Brahim Diaz on that wing? Let's get straight into the Morocco stuff then. It's an unchanged side from the 1-1 draw against Brazil in their opener. And here's the team chosen by manager Mohamed Ouahabi. It's going to be a 4-2-3-1 with Bono in goal. A defence of Hakimi, Diop, Riyad and Mezraoui. El Anoui, Boudadi, Anouhahi as the midfield three. Diaz and El Kanous out wide. Sabari leads the line. The rest of the squad are on the bench, Andrew. And the North Africans, undoubtedly one of the best in the world. Several standout players. They reached the semi-finals in Qatar 4 years ago. The AFCON final earlier this year. And they're confident of at least replicating that performance this summer. We're just getting the goalkeepers out on the park now in the sunshine here, the evening sunshine in Boston. The Uzbek referee is Iglitz Tantashev, and of course we'll have VAR with all of the new updated rules. Kickoff, Andrew, is 50 minutes away.
Yeah, very interested to see how the Scotland team is going to line up, because certainly on paper it looks as if Steve Clarke has gone back to that back three, that back five that we're very familiar with, that he did for a lot of the start of his spell, where he had Kieran Tierney as a left centre-back of a three, Andy Robertson as a left wing-back, and it was almost tailored towards those two players, two quality players, to try and fit them in the team. Suggestions that possibly it could be mixed up tonight, that Kieran Tierney is maybe playing as a left midfielder and he's keeping that back four. But certainly the one thing you can say about this Scotland team is that they're adaptable, and Steve Clarke is able to play them in different ways. So if it's a guessing game for us, it's going to be a guessing game for Morocco as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not quite sure what it's going to be, a back three with Robertson and Patterson as wing backs. The midfield four have got plenty of experience. You know, you have Ferguson, Christie, McTominay, McGinn, and they'll have to support Shea Adams up top. But whether they go a back four, whether they go a midfield four, one off the striker as well, we're not quite sure until kickoff. However, what we do know is this is a vastly experienced team. You know, they have been over the course and distance. And I think that's the reason why Steve Clarke's gone with this, because you have to be mindful of this Moroccan team, who are sitting seventh in the world rankings as well at the moment.
I was on the show last night with John Spencer, and we highlighted how, you know, how good they were down the right hand side, their strengths. Really, really good indeed. I'm not surprised with this. I think it's a good move, to be quite honest with you. Robertson, Tierney, because if Robertson goes ahead of Tierney, Tierney can fill in at left back. He's comfortable there. The two of them like playing together, you know, that left centre back and left wing back as well. And they've got to stop that threat. So just looking at it and thinking about it, right away when I seen the team, Andrew, I thought, yeah, he's going to a three. But when I now look at it and settle down, I think he will play Tierney in that left-hand side to stop that threat.
If we go through the changes individually, the first one that stands out is Nathan Patterson in for Aaron Hickey. You've got to think that's maybe something to do with the fitness of Aaron Hickey, because I think most people would probably accept that Aaron Hickey is Scotland's strongest option at right-back. He is the one that, if everyone's fit, he is going to play there, but he's not played a lot of football. He's had his injury issues. Asking him to play two games in the space of a number of days at such a high level, probably that's the clue that why Nathan Patterson is maybe in tonight.
Yeah, it's an interesting change, but I've got to be honest with you, I like Hickey. I think he's a very, very good player, but I think he struggled. I really do. I think he struggled in the first game. Whether it's the fact that you highlighted there, he's not played a lot of football, to be fair, neither has Nathan Patterson. But Steve Clark's decided tonight, you know, after the first game, we'll go with Patterson. I've not got a problem with that because I think he's a very, very good fullback. He can get up and down. And then obviously, if Hickey's there, if Patterson runs out of steam, then you've got Hickey coming on, which doesn't weaken us down that side. So, listen, we were all saying he's got to make changes. He's made three changes, and it'll be just interesting to see if the biggest change is, does Tierney play as a three, or does he play in that left-hand side to give Robertson protection?
In the midfield area, I think a lot of people thought that there would maybe need to be a bit more solidity in that midfield coming up against such a quality side. Ben Gannon-Doak is a player that sacrificed for that, which I think a lot of people might be disappointed because he's such an exciting player. He gets bums off the seats. Ryan Christie comes in, his Bournemouth teammate, but Ryan Christie is so experienced. He is very adaptable, can play several different positions. If you want him to be an attacking player, he can do that. If you want him to sit deeper and hold on to the ball and sort of try and dictate play, he can do that. And he's the type of player that coming into a big game, nobody will have any doubts about his ability and experience to be able to handle this type of occasion.
Yeah, listen, I'm disappointed because I would like to have seen Ben Doak. I think he carries a threat, he gets pace, he's driving at the back line, gets you up the pitch. However, you look at what they've also got the options of McGinn or Christie can play off that right hand side, and you have that wealth of experience. And I think he's actually going with experience here because of the level of the opponent as well. I think the other night when you're up against a lesser opponent on paper, that allows Ben Doak to get after him. But I think tonight what he's done is he's going to show it up in the middle of the park and then show them the wider areas and then allow them to fire balls into the box, and you have plenty of height in the box that they can cope with anything coming across the face.
We had the debate all week, Gordon, about who was going to be the striker, because a lot of people maybe thought that he was going to go to one up top. A lot of people thought it was going to be between Shea Adams and Lauren Shanklin, the two that had started the last two games. Maybe some shouts for Lyndon Dykes in there, just given what he can offer. If Scotland are going a bit more direct, Shea Adams is the one that has got the call. Why do you think he's the one that's in from the start tonight?
I was a bit surprised. I thought he maybe have just changed and went with Dykes tonight, just to give us that bit of height, bit of strength up top. But the one thing, the difference, Adams can go behind. You know what I mean? We've seen the goal. His movement for the goal against Haiti was absolutely brilliant. He's got that pace. He's a threat. We might not have a lot of the ball tonight, and if we get it, then if we play in behind fullbacks or whatever, Adams is the player that can go there and get you up the park for me.
Sorry, Andrew, that's the thing. I think the reason why he's gone for him as that sole striker is his mobility, because obviously Shanklin and that are decent linkers and things. Lyndon Dykes will compete aerially, but you need someone to run in behind and cause that threat.
I'm just looking at those four midfielders that Scotland have. We talked about it could be whatever formation, but the four sort of natural midfielders in there. John McGinn is just captain Aston Villa to a Europa League. Scott McTominay has been one of the best players in Serie A this season. Lewis Ferguson has been brilliant for Bologna, and Ryan Christie is consistently playing at a very high level with Bournemouth. Those are four players with vast experience, vast quality, and should really back themselves going into any game against any opponent.
Yeah, I think when you look at the level these guys are actually playing at, Andrew, you make a valid point, and they will be very robust and structured within their system. And I think that's one of the things that you could look at Steve Clark over the course of his tenure, is he has been really structured. There's a real kind of organisation to what they do. Hence the reason why they get good results. You know, they don't go gung-ho. They're very kind of regimented in what they try and do. So it doesn't surprise me what you say. And I think you mentioned Ryan Christie. I think he's really developed brilliantly over the last couple of years. And when you look at Bournemouth, he's just signed another three-year contract with him down there. And he had a brilliant season also last year.
Just picking up on Alec there quickly about that midfield. We've got guys in there, and the one thing is we've got a threat. They can score goals. You know, McTominay,
20 goals, McGinn,
Christie,
in Scotland.
You know what
20,
I mean?
Isn't it?
Yeah, and I know that Ferguson probably been told to sit, but Ferguson can get you a goal as well. So we've got a threat from that midfield area, which is brilliant. We're going to need it tonight.
Now, we then get on to Morocco. It's a huge step up in quality from the Haiti game.
Take
and everyone will say that, yes, Scotland got the win, a vital 3 points, but the performance levels are going to need to be a lot better than they were against Haiti to get a result against this Morocco team. You just need to look at what they've done over the last few years. They got to the semi-finals the last World Cup. They got to the final of AFCON. They lost the final. There were then a lot of things that went on, which meant that they were handed the trophy in the end. And they've got real quality in there. They're top 10 in the FIFA World Rankings. It's a serious team, Scotland are playing tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at the front line as well, Diaz, Saibari. I really like Saibari. I seen him a couple of years ago when he was playing for PSV against Rangers. So impressed with him. You know, he's a really talented boy. You've seen the goal he scored against Brazil the other night. And I like the young boy, Duabi, in the middle of the park.
Years old, and looked like he strolled it at times against Brazil.
Yeah, I know. There's high expectations of him as a young boy playing in France. So, you know, throughout the course of their team. But even you look at Hakimi and right back the other day when he's up against Brazil, he just keeps bombing forward, aggressive. So this is a team full of quality, and they really have to be at the top of their game if they're going to get a result tonight.
Do you know what I liked about them, Alec, when I watched them in the first game? Now, it's always the first game. There's a lot of games to go. I think Morocco will go deep into this tournament. Of that, there's no doubt for me. But the one thing I noticed about them is they play a very high-tempo game. They're very quick, their movement. I've never seen a Brazilian team with the players that they've got, giving the ball away as much in the first half especially.
Started brilliantly, didn't
it? It's all down to Morocco's tempo, pace, everything. Scotland need to be aware of that tonight.
We saw what the atmosphere was like in the Boston Stadium. Yes. At times it seemed like a home game for Scotland. I imagine there will be more Moroccans than there were Haitians inside the stadium. But everything that has gone around the games in this World Cup to do with the Tartan Army, how much is that going to inspire the players? Because I imagine in their downtime, when they're sitting in Charlotte in their hotel rooms and they're away from training, they'll be sitting scrolling on their phones like we are. They'll be seeing the support they are getting. They'll be seeing that the Tartan Army are doing them proud. And you just had to listen to the national anthem. They'll hear it again tonight. Yep. The support is absolutely incredible. And you hope that whatever extra percentage it can give these Scotland players, that it can do something for us tonight.
But the thing is, they've been there throughout the duration. You know, they travel in big, big numbers. And I was over in Portugal watching the game. And, you know, it was a wee small hours. And I was thinking to myself, right, OK. And then you hear them roaring through the stadium. And you're thinking to yourself, my God, how many is that actually there? So I've got a friend over there, Doogie, who's been to about five or six. He's an elderly gentleman. He never thought he was ever getting back to a World Cup. And he's now over there living the dream again, having done it so many times. And he just says he's living his best life. He says the place is absolutely littered with Scots. The atmosphere and the support that are getting second to none.
The atmosphere over in Boston has been so good that Gordon DL has been telling me all week that he's been flirting with the idea of just booking some flights to Miami and going. That's how good it's been.
Do you know, he's telling you flights. He was telling me about he wants to go and mix with some of the Brazilians.
No, I've never seen Brazil in real life. I'd like to go. I think it'd be something.
You've never seen a Brazilian?
I've never seen a Brazilian in my life. I've got to say, things don't excite me, but see, sitting on your phone, like everybody's doing now, seeing the pictures there. And what got to me today was, when I seen that, the Tartan Army going into that Children's Cancer Hospital and donating 10,000, that's what Scotland people are all about. That's why your country is loved. They've taken over Boston. They'll take over Miami. They're enjoying themselves. It's brilliant. All we have to do now is for the team to join in, give us that point, because that's all we really need. Three might get us there, but I would like that point. And I've got a funny feeling between these two games, I think we can achieve it, Alec.
No, listen, I've got a real belief as well tonight. And the reason why I say that is over the course of Steve Clark's tenure, particularly against the bigger teams, they pull out some really, they up their game and they're really resilient and dogged. And they're going to have to be that tonight. And with the backing of the fans, I'm really hopeful we can actually get that, because what a buzz it would be for the whole nation to actually get to that next stage, the knockout stage of 32.
Kickoff is 40 minutes away. We'll go back to the Boston Stadium and have more preview ahead of the big game next.
Scotland versus Morocco. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are here live at Brayhead Arena in Glasgow, building up to Scotland against Morocco, and it could be one of the most historic nights, if not the most historic night, because Scotland could potentially seal a spot in the knockout stages of a major tournament for the first time ever. A victory against Morocco would be enough to do it. It would seal a top two finish. A draw would just about get us there, but there wouldn't be the confirmation tonight, and a defeat still in not a bad position going into a final game against the small matter of Brazil. Gordon DL and Alex Ray here with me, Andrew McLean, and we will cross back to the Boston Stadium where Gabriel Antoniazzi is. He has been there all week and he has been in amongst it with the Tartan Army. The atmosphere has looked brilliant. How is the atmosphere, the setting inside the stadium going into this game, Gabriel?
Yeah, it's something else, Andrew. It truly is. I mean, the temperature is a little bit cooler than it's been over the past week, 25 degrees. It's been cloudy throughout most of the day, but the sun has emerged here and it is fully on the players. Very breezy, plenty of wind. It is warm, but even though it's 3 hours earlier than that Haiti game, it's certainly cooler and much more favourable conditions for the players. In terms of the fans inside, still not packed out, Andrew. Remember, we had the issues last week. The queues, from my understanding, were much better than the opening game, but there were still some long waits from the South Station in Boston and outside the gates here. It's not full yet, but I can tell you there are certainly more Moroccans in here than there were Haitians on Saturday night. Probably on for a 50-50 split. Morocco all in red, Scotland in blue. No coral shirts in here this evening, but what you were just talking about earlier, the Scotland and Boston loving, it's been truly something else to experience firsthand. Yesterday, the mayor of the city announced a partnership between Boston and Glasgow going forwards. Fans seemingly don't want to leave here. They don't want to go down to Miami where Gordon DL may be waiting for them with all of the Brazilians. They want to stay here. And the locals have just taken to it so well. Scotland will hope to leave with 3 points. And hey, there is a chance as well, Andrew, that Scotland could be back here in the knockouts, the last 32, if they finish third in the group. But talking about fans in Boston, as I said, the Moroccans have been much more prevalent than any other teams outside of Scotland who have played here up in New England. I've been speaking to plenty over this week and they are all so confident in your team, and you can understand why. You touched on it earlier. They're very experienced. We know their record in previous tournaments. I was actually at AFCON at the start of this year, and they are football mad in Morocco. I don't think people who haven't been there can truly appreciate it. They've invested multi-millions in football over the last decade or so. They're the only team from Africa to ever reach the semi-final of the World Cup, which we know is in Qatar, and they are hoping for the same again, if not more. Seriously high expectations. We know the players. Ashraf Hakimi, the best right back in the world, back-to-back Champions League winner with Paris Saint-Germain. Brahim Diaz, crippled by that failed Panenka penalty in the AFCON final, but he looked back to his best against Brazil with a brilliant assist, and that was scored by Ismail Saibari. Playing up top these days, he's on his way to Bayern Munich, another top operator. They're seventh in the world. They are unbeaten in 30 games in 90 minutes. Yeah, that 30 matches they've not lost a game within 90 minutes. So a win today for Scotland will be massive on so many levels. It would arguably be the best team this country have beaten at a major tournament since the Netherlands in 1978. And we all remember what happened that day, Andrew.
I know what they say about the weather. If it didn't change, the most boring person you know wouldn't know how to start a conversation. But I think it is important, the weather in this game, because it is cooler, as Gabriel said, despite the fact it's earlier in the day in Boston, and any small margin Scotland can take will be a good thing. And if the conditions are cooler, they'll still have the hydration breaks, but it could, I'm not saying it'll exactly play into Scotland's hands, but a lot of our players maybe aren't used to playing in the warmer conditions. Could help a little bit, hopefully.
Yeah, well, hopefully that would be the case, Andrew. However, I think you mentioned it was still 25. I expect the Moroccans to come out of the blocks. The way they came out against Brazil, they were very much in the front foot, took the game to them. And Scotland are going to have to be very much on their metal early doors, because you expect him to be outflanked, and then they're going to have to try and impose a sail into this game. But you're right, it's a cooler temperature, and you're hoping that gives them a little bit of an edge. But I still think it'll be very difficult.
Yeah, I do agree. I'm delighted that Gabs keeps reminding us of the weather over there. I don't think it's any to do with football. I think he's just making us jealous. But
because of the torrential rain that we've had all day today.
But it does play a big, big part. And I totally agree with you, Alex. I think Morocco will come out the traps tonight. You've seen them against Brazil. They went right at Brazil. They were on the front foot. Listen, Steve Clark, he'll have watched that. He'll have looked at that, analysed it. He'll be ready for that. He'll be telling his players to be ready for it. So we just need to be aware of the threat, settle into the game, and then play our own game. Because you mentioned it there not that long ago, Andrew. We're forgetting. We've got top, top players in our team. Top players that play in, you know, top leagues and Champions Leagues and you know, the McGinns in Europe, winning trophies and everything like that. So, look, as much as they're going to be a threat tonight, if we can play to our capability, I think we're in with a great chance of getting something.
There are millions of you watching up and down the country. Dave Galloway is watching in Aberdeen alongside a former Scotland manager. Callum McQuaid and Molly Chulett are at one of the biggest watch parties tonight at Transmit alongside George Bowie.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, so we're in the middle of Glasgow Green, surrounded by thousands of people who've turned up in all kinds of clobber. You've got kilts, you've got hats with the Solskjaer flag on it, and they're braving all kinds of weather, and that's what I'm really impressed with, because I turned up at 5 o'clock when the sun all of a sudden came out, but my friend and colleague Molly, well, she's been braving it since 12, and at that time it was absolutely bucketing down. So I wasn't very popular when I arrived here and brought the sun with me, because I was completely bone dry, but you weren't.
No, but we're starting to dry out a wee bit now, and people have been so excited. I mean, it's just been building and building all day today. The number of Scotland tops here is just incredible. And we've been hearing some pretty optimistic predictions for the score. We've been hearing a lot of 3-1 guesses for Scotland. So we're hoping for a good night here at Glasgow Green, and hopefully Scotland can deliver that for us.
And you did make that crime against fashion by putting on your wellies. Was it worth it?
It was 100% worth it, and we'll be doing it again tomorrow. It's not the environment for anything other than that.
Well, it's safe to say my boots are absolutely ruined, because I've been trudging through like sand that's been completely ruined by water. I guess that's what I get for not turning up early and pulling a long shift like Molly. Back to you.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, we're here at the Priory, and this For the Fans fan park in Aberdeen city centre is absolutely bouncing. A brilliant atmosphere. And with me right now is former Scotland defender and manager Craig Levein. Craig, we're so close to making history, but we're up against a team ranked 7th in the world with so much at stake. What approach do we need?
We need to be hell of a lucky. This game is very, very dangerous, because Morocco are on the up. They've been excellent. Obviously, they won the recent tournament in Africa. Sorry, got to the final of the recent tournament, or won it, I can't remember. But they're obviously on the way up. They've just built a massive, up-to-date training facility in the country. They are taking the football seriously at the moment. So this is going to be extremely tricky.
What should Steve Clark be saying to his men just before they take to the pitch? What should his final words
be? Far be it from me to tell Steve Clark what he should be saying. He's done an amazing job with Scotland. He's got us into a position that we haven't been in for a hell of a long time. We need everybody, in particular our senior players, to be at their absolute best this evening. Even at that, it might not be good enough. So this is extremely tricky.
Craig, thank you very much indeed. From the Granite City, back to you in Glasgow, Andrew.
Well, Craig Levein speaking about Steve Clark there. Steve Clark has already written his name in Scotland history by getting us to three major tournaments now. He has signed a new four-year deal that will take him through to 2030. What would this elevate Steve Clark to if he could manage to get the Scotland team to the knockout stages of a major tournament for the first time ever?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant for him, brilliant for the players and brilliant for the country. Listen, I know Steve Clark's got his doubters. I think he's done a fantastic job. I really do. To get us to tournaments, to qualify for tournaments, our first World Cup in 28 years, Andrew, you can't beat that. And then win the opening game. Yes, we were favourites to do that, but it was a nervous game. We were under pressure because everybody expected us to go out there and it was going to be an easy 3 points. It's never an easy 3 points in the World Cup. Have a look at some of the results that are going about. So it was a brilliant result for us. It gave us that confidence to sit on top of the table. Listen, I don't care about the doubters of Steve Clark. My opinion is, I think he's done a brilliant job. I was listening to Craig there, Scotland manager. If we play the top of our game tonight, we've got some fantastic players. I think we're underestimating ourselves a little bit here. I know Morocco are a very, very good side, but if every one of our players play at the top of the game tonight, this is going to be a hell of a game.
I know there was maybe a couple of trains of thoughts after the Haiti game. Most people absolutely delighted at the fact that Scotland have got a win at a World Cup for the first time in 36 years. There was a few people saying that they wish Scotland had won by more. They were talking about goal difference. But I think you just need to look at the games that have followed that and some of the results in the World Cup.
Cape
the
Verde.
Fact that I think Scotland, in the first round of games, are the only European team that won and got a clean sheet just shows how good that result was.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, it was all about the result, you know, the 3 points, getting up and running, because these opening fixtures are very nervy. You can clearly see that with all the teams. You look at Spain, who are like standouts, like elite players, and they obviously get a draw. So this puts it into context. It was so important for us to get the campaign off to a really positive start. I think Craig Levein makes some valid points here. I think that we've already highlighted that Morocco are a top team. I think the fact that he's gone with this real wealth of experience, guys he's trusted over the campaigns, he feels as if this is the best way to try and get that result that they need. I just think that they have to try and impose themselves as well tonight, because what they can't do is just like wave after wave, otherwise it becomes such a long game, 90 minutes. And so they're going to have to try and get a hold of the ball. I think guys like Christie, Ferguson got on the ball, McGinn and McTominay go and try and support Adams, and then obviously try and get your wing backs up. And I think set plays are key as well, because we've such a big team that we can actually capitalise on that.
It's been a deliberate move by Steve Clarke to get players a lot of caps and, you know, keep the squads consistent so that he has players playing regularly at international level, going through those challenges and growing together. So the number of caps in this team, it's quite incredible, Gordon, but on top of that, a lot of the players have major tournament experience. A lot of the players have major tournament experience from two separate tournaments. So you've got to hope that that will play into Scotland's hands in some regard across these three games.
Yeah, the thing I like about the squad is it's got bags of experience and it's got youth. And sometimes that youth that's never experienced it, they're the guys that surprise you. Alec will tell you, he's been in management. You throw a young kid in there to a big arena and all of a sudden he just shines. Look at Finn the Curtis, for instance.
Yeah,
he's been absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But we've got an experienced team tonight. Yes, it's going to be difficult, but I think we've got enough experience in there that's now had a taste of the Euros. They knew the disappointment. That'll be in their back of their mind. The World Cup is completely different. Listen, the Euros is great, but the World Cup's on a different level. Let's not be kidded here. It's on a different level. The players know that. They've settled into the first game. The good thing is, they're back at the same stadium, Andrew. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, there's a sort of a Scotland good feel-good factor about it. So it'll be interesting to see. But tonight, for me, they've got to start proper, because I watched Morocco against Brazil and they just went right after Brazil and forced them into a lot of mistakes. So they've got to start, they've got to be aware of that, start proper and bed themselves into the game. See, tonight, I've got to say, and I hate saying this because there's no point in it, but the Billy Gilmore for me is a massive miss. You know, because
he can handle the ball.
He can take the ball, Ali. Yeah. He can take the pressure. And we've not got a Billy Gilmore here tonight. You know, we've got quality players, we've got good attributes, but Billy Gilmore was the one guy, but unfortunately he's not there to do it.
Kickoff is coming up soon. We'll be back live from the Brayhead Arena next.
Live from the Brayhead Arena fan zone. And live from the Boston Stadium. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Former striker Gordon DL, former midfielder Alex Ray here with me, Andrew McLean, live from the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow. The clock is ticking. It is almost time for Scotland to take on Morocco. As soon as that game finished against Haiti, as soon as we got that 3 points, all attentions turned to this match. We have seen the team news. Steve Clarke has made some changes. It's going to be Angus Gunn in goal. It could well be a back five. He's changed two of Nathan Patterson, Grant Hanley, Jack Hendry, Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson. There's Ryan Christie, Lewis Ferguson, Scott McTominay and John McGinn in there, and Shea Adams leading the line. And I just wonder what will be going through the heads of the players in this game, because it's a different expectation than it was in the first game, Alex. You look back to the first match, everyone was expecting Scotland to go out and get 3 points and put on a performance against Haiti. This time, is the pressure slightly more off? Can the pressure be off in a World Cup match? So much is at stake.
Listen, I think we go into this as underdogs. I think we recognise that Morocco are a decent outfit. However, we still go in with expectations. We have thousands upon thousands of Scots out there in Boston, across the board here. We're looking at this place tonight. During that break there, me and Daz are up singing and dancing. The atmosphere is brilliant in here. And I think across the country, there'll be a real belief and hope that we can actually get the job done tonight, because getting into the next game, you think Brazil, difficult and so forth. This is a great opportunity to do something we've never achieved before.
Certainly one thing the Haiti game did was it took some of the pressure off Gordon, because Scotland have that win. We needed at least one win, really, to get through to the knockout stages of the tournament. We've got those 3 points on the board, so it's not as much pressure as there would have been if Scotland had slipped up in that first game.
Steve Clarke came out and said after the game, a must-win game. And they achieved that. That's what it was about. Listen, we're all greedy. We'd have liked a two or three. Of course we would. But you look at some of the results in this World Cup, there's no many mugs that you're going to just steamroller because you are the favourites. There's a lot of well-organised teams with top players in them and good coaches as well. So it's always going to be difficult. Look, it was important to get the 3 points for a confidence booster as well. We didn't have a great Euros. Come in for a lot of criticism after the Euros. We have to get up and running for the World Cup. We achieved that. We've got sort of a two hits at it now. You know, we'd like to do it tonight. There's no doubt. You don't want to get into the game on Wednesday against Brazil having to chase a point or a victory. A point tonight would cement it for us. There's no doubt about that. The way we've lined up, we know it's got to be difficult. We know their threats. Steve Clarke's doing he's done his homework. I've just got a wee feeling that we could maybe nick something tonight. I really do.
In top games, top players step up and they have those big moments, Alex.
Yeah.
And there is no better of example of that than in the Denmark game that sent us to the World Cup, and we saw some of our best players step up and have some of the best moments that Scotland players have ever had, and gave the Scotland supporters some of the best moments they've ever had. And if they're ever going to step up again and do similar, these next two games are the time to step up.
Yeah, listen, I think that they're already heroes in the eyes of the Scotland fans. You look at McTominay, that goal he scored was absolutely world class. They'll be looking for something like that tonight. You look at John McGinn, he's been the talisman. I think he's currently on 20 goals, around about that. So that's a really impressive return for international football. Shea Adams, you know, he's kind of gone under the radar. He'll be looking to try and add to that as well. But I just look at the Scotland. You made a really interesting point there. It was important to win. Can you imagine the atmosphere if we hadn't got the result against Haiti a couple of days ago? Everybody was flat as a pancake. There's an expectation about where we can go with this, and I think the players will believe that also. As I said, this group have grown, and I think it's important when you go through several campaigns, you grow, you're united. The group will be really, the togetherness within that group will be second to none, and I think over the piece they will have a real belief that they can get the job done and do something that's never been done with plenty of other squads over the years.
Wins build confidence, Gordon DL, but can you take some momentum when it comes to the defensive side of the game? Scotland have had two clean sheets in a row. Yes, they were against Bolivia and Haiti, but they're going into this game knowing that they stood firm in those matches. Yes, it'll be a big step up in level tonight, but it's certainly better than going into the game having conceded in your previous matches.
Yeah, anybody will tell you, the back four, back five, whatever it may be, and goalkeeper pride are selling clean sheets. Of course they do, especially at this level as well. Look, we were a little bit lucky because the lad against Haiti,
Piero's header.
So they'll probably analyse that as well. They've spoke about that. There's a sort of, you know, if you get two centre-halves, they've got to work together. There's no doubt they've got to work together. They'll have learned from that. Remember, it was a pressure game. This is a completely different game tonight. I'll be played differently because you know that one thing is Morocco ain't going to sit back and try and hit you in the counter attack.
They're going
right at you. So it may play into Scotland's hands tonight.
Kickoff is not far away. We are going back to the Boston Stadium next.
Scotland versus Morocco. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.